Tucker Carlson warns they're going to steal the election. Strange connections continue to emerge surrounding Fannie Willis, and COVID vaccine manufacturers get hit by a new bombshell. These stories and more tonight. I'm Maria Z of ZMedia.com, and this is Vigilant Fox's Media Blackout. Biden's mental decline and the various policies that whoever it is that is running the United States is implementing, resulting in the destruction of the country, is basically known by everyone at this point. Even the Democrats struggle to publicly support Biden. There's no way that in a free and fair election he can win, so Tucker Carlson just said out loud what we're all thinking. They're going to steal the election. Tucker Carlson issued a chilling warning following Joe Biden's State of the Union address Thursday evening. Carlson declared, "Joe Biden can't win in a fair election. Joe Biden will lose in November. He cannot win. That's the thing that nobody in any media wants to say out loud. In a fair election, Joe Biden cannot win." Let's take a listen to what Tucker has to say.
And so what this means is that underneath all of the talk is a dire political reality. Joe Biden can't win. In a fair election, Joe Biden will lose in November. He cannot win. That's the thing that nobody in any media wants to say out loud. In a fair election, Joe Biden cannot win. So they're saying the opposite. Here, for example, is the pregame analysis over at MSNBC, which we watched while waiting for Biden to dodder up to the stage, waiting for the amphetamines to take effect. And keep in mind, as you watch this analysis, these are supposedly the smart kids. These are the smart kids, the ones with complicated glasses. These are the ones the White House looks to for guidance. And here's their analysis of Joe Biden's skills. Watch this.
This seems like a weirdly, like, a counterintuitive hot take, even though it's the most obvious thing you could say, which is that Joe Biden is good at politics.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Like, Joe Biden is good at politics. He's very good at politics. Like, the man really does know what he's doing. And you really see it in those sort of situations.
Joe Biden is just really good at politics. It's the one thing he's really good at. Really?
Really? How can it be that Biden is so good at politics when Trump is crushing him in the polls? A New York Times Siena College poll found that Biden's support is at 43%, trailing 5 points behind Trump's 48% among registered voters. Joe Biden is getting stomped by Donald Trump, but he's also at the same time somehow good at politics, Carlson asked. Right. So what does that tell you, he posed. Well, they're going to steal the election, he answered. And we know that they're going to steal the election because they're now saying so out loud. Carlson played a clip of Attorney General Merrick Garland saying that it is, quote, discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary, end quote, to require voter ID. The chief law enforcement officer in the United States government is telling you that it's immoral, in fact racist, in fact illegal, to ask people for their IDs when they vote to verify they are who they say they are. What is that? Carlson asked. Well, Carlson challenged claims that voter ID laws are discriminatory because they prevent people of color, particularly black individuals, from voting due to a supposed lack of access to government-issued ID. He finds this argument contradictory because living in the US requires a government-issued ID for many essential activities, such as flying, banking, interacting with government agencies, staying in hotels, and using credit cards. He also pointed out the irony in the push towards a cashless society by some of the same people who argue against voter ID laws, noting that even attending events or making purchases now often requires a credit card, which in turn requires an ID. Not to mention a cashless society would also require a digital ID, which is a digital verification. So is that going to be racist too? He suggests there's a double standard in considering it racist to require ID for voting, but not for other aspects of life that require identification. Have you been to a stadium event recently? Carlson posed. No cash accepted. You have to have a credit card. And in order to get a credit card, you need a state-issued ID. Let's listen to some of his comments.
Have you been to a stadium event recently? No cash accepted. You have to have a credit card. In order to get a credit card, you need a state-issued ID. And somehow, that's not racist. But it is racist to ask people to prove their identity when they choose the next president of the United States. So that doesn't make any sense at all. That's a lie. It's an easily provable lie. And anyone telling that lie is advocating for mass voter fraud, which the attorney general is. There's no other way to read it. So you should know that. You live in a country where the attorney general is abetting, in fact, calling for voter fraud. And that's the only chance they have to get their guy reelected.
I wonder if it ever crosses a Democrat voter's mind that staunchly being opposed to voter ID may be how the Dems will rig the election. I mean, all of those illegals who are terrified of being deported when Trump gets back in will no doubt be voting for the party that brought them there in the first place, with the help of the UN, of course. And with no requirement for voter ID, they can turn up in the bucket loads to the voting booths and vote for their favourite senile enabler. If they even require voters to turn up at all, who knows what they'll be swinging next. But for all of the Democrat voters out there, does that not terrify you? Okay, you hate Trump, we get it. But imagine if a government you didn't like was breaking the law and rigging elections like this. You would know you're at risk, just like you are now, by supporting authoritarians who have no regard for the law or the Constitution. In the next breath, they will turn on you. This is their character. They persecute their political opponents. They lock up independent journalists in prison. They call anyone who disagrees with them a domestic terrorist. They are dangerous. So even if you agree with their ideology today, you may not tomorrow, but by then, it will be too late. You'll already be a target like the rest of the people who have the courage to warn about where the country is heading. The key to free and just countries begins with transparent, free and fair elections. When society attends the voting booth to vote on the individuals they wish to represent and serve them, that must be done legitimately and transparently. In turn, then, giving the society the same opportunity to go back to the voting booth to vote those same people out if they do not represent the desires of the majority. Once that core value in society is gone, the society and the system that controls it is fallen. These people work for you and not the other way around. But voter fraud is not the only thing the people of the United States need to be concerned about. The Biden administration has just hired Logically AI to censor you to make sure that your voices can't be heard online ahead of the election. More on that later. At Z Media, we've spoken in detail about how the government overlords have openly said that AI will determine elections in future and eradicate them in their entirety, with AI just deciding who is best to rule you, if by then it's even a person at all. Spoken about it on this broadcast as well. On top of this, Elon Musk warns an event worse than 9/11 is coming with all of these illegals flooding the country. We'll be joined by war correspondent Michael Yon later in the broadcast to discuss that further. In closing, in this ever-evolving and changing digital society, there is nothing more paramount for an election than old-school paper ballots, voter ID, and in-person voting. Now a message from our sponsor, The Wellness Company. Everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where The Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, from anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even a bioweapon like the plague. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to help keep you and your family safe. Go to twc.health/blackout today and order. That's twc.health/blackout and use the promo code blackout to save 10%. Well, Trump has made a shocking statement on the COVID vaccines, and rightly so, he is getting roasted on his Truth Social account. Trump released the following statement on Truth Social responding to Joe Biden's State of the Union. He quotes Biden, "The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning setback into comeback." And Trump's response to this was, "You're welcome, Joe. 9 months approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken you." Igor Chudov says, "I'm frankly shocked by the stupidity of both statements. The vaccines did not, quote, save us from the pandemic. They made the pandemic worse. And being proud that such vaccines were pushed through in just 9 months is perhaps a bit misguided." I think he's being generous there. Some of the sample comments for those that aren't on Truth Social can be found here. "Mr. President, please stop promoting these vaccines. They are killing and injuring thousands of us. I fully believe that they are causing the uptick in cancers. I fully support you on everything except vaccines. With all due respect, it's a hard no from me, sir. I love and support you on most issues, but I strongly disagree on this one. The COVID vaccines are not safe, Mr. President. Please do more research. Sir, please drop the vax. There is more evil and ill wrapped around the vax. The bad actors behind it must be held to account. I believe you were fooled and have not seen nor understand what has been done. Please research. There is a battle MAGA. This is a battle MAGA feels we must fight and win." Another person says, "The vaccine is a death sentence. Please stop defending it. I love you and will vote for you a third time, but in regards to the vaccine, you couldn't be more wrong." Whilst Trump is definitely the best candidate to lead the country out of this mess and back into a healthier society, as with all leaders, they must be held to account. Most people, including Trump voters, would agree with most of Trump's policies, but as with everyone, he's definitely got this one wrong. The vaccines are dangerous and at the very least should be pulled off the market, with many experts calling for the complete ban of mRNA technology for good. These injections have killed millions around the world and are nothing to be celebrated. Trump has sat with Megyn Kelly, who questioned him about whether he would advocate for COVID vaccine injured victims, and he said he would. He said he would exit the World Health Organization. He said he would hold Big Pharma accountable. This is the action people want to see from President Trump. For anyone who didn't know about the effectiveness of ivermectin, yet another new study has vindicated the very safe and effective drug, showing a 60% reduction in hospitalization and death. Now, hospitals murdered COVID patients. The more they killed, the more money they made. And while they were doing so, the propagandists told you that ivermectin was a dangerous horse dewormer. Well, it just so turns out that a new study published by the Journal of Infection has found that individuals who tested positive for COVID-19 and were treated with ivermectin recovered quicker than those who didn't. Specifically, the median recovery time was 2 days faster for those who took ivermectin. The study also found that a smaller percentage of ivermectin recipients, 1.6%, were hospitalized or died compared to 4% in the comparison group. That's a stunning 60% reduction in hospitalization and death, far more promising than anything the so-called COVID vaccines delivered. So why did world governments vilify ivermectin? Well, because the COVID shots forced upon the world would not be able to exist if ivermectin was shown to be effective. The emergency use authorization states, "For the FDA to issue an EUA, there must be no adequate, approved, and available alternative candidate product for diagnosing, preventing, or treating the disease or condition." So they had to smear and discredit ivermectin. And in doing so, critical care physician Dr. Pierre Corey says that has caused millions of people to die around the world. You can watch that video of Dr. Corey on the Vigilant News Network. Resolving to eat healthier this year was easy. Actually doing it, not so easy. Better nutrition is a key to health and longevity, and a healthy diet could even help you avoid health risks that run in your family. Field of Greens is our healthy superfruit and vegetable habit. It's the only fruit and vegetable product that literally promises better health. At your next checkup, your doctor will notice your improved health or your money back. Do your vitamins or green drinks promise better health? Nope. Each superfruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for a specific health benefit. Some support your heart, lungs, and kidneys. Others support metabolism for healthy energy and weight loss. If you resolve to get healthier in 24, it starts with Field of Greens. We got you 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code BLACKOUT. That's promo code BLACKOUT at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Pro boxer says that he watched Bohemian Grove elites rape children in the woods. American boxer Ryan Garcia made several controversial remarks during an X Spaces interview hosted by kickboxing champion Andrew Tate, claiming he'd been physically restrained and forced to watch a group of elite pedophiles rape children. Quote, "They held me down and they made me watch little kids get raped. I don't give a F anymore." End quote. The full conversation between Andrew Tate and Ryan Garcia linked there on our Vigilant News Network article. He said, "Bohemian Grove is real. They tied me down and made me watch." The former WBC interim lightweight champion went on to claim to Tate that he couldn't be touched by retaliatory tactics, to which Tate replied, "I care about you a lot, and I can assure you from my own personal experience that they absolutely can touch you." The boxer went on to mention InfoWars host Alex Jones' infamous infiltration of the Bohemian Grove in 99, telling Tate that basically if Alex could do it, so can I. If anyone hasn't seen Alex Jones talking to Joe Rogan about that, you can watch this clip here, claiming that presidents go there and make sacrifices to Moloch, the owl god. Also, if you haven't seen Bohemian Grove, you should watch it in full. Responding to critics who fear he's experiencing a mental breakdown, Garcia explained that despite recent social media posts, he isn't on drugs and offered to travel to Romania to take a drug test. He went on to declare that he would wait for the right time to release his info, saying they're already calling me to tell me to stop. And he said that he's already had a meeting with them. The boxer went on to acknowledge that Jones has been warning of the spiritual battle taking place behind the scenes, and saying that the only reason that essentially they can't stop Garcia is because they listened to the devil, he listened to God, and God gave him authority. His rants follow concerning posts made on his social media accounts in recent days, with one post claiming that he'd slit his throat. Another Instagram post also mentioned the death of Ryan Garcia. He then came out with a video clarifying that he's okay, he's not dead. He said that these were rumors and that he wasn't in possession of his phone. He'd been locked out of his cards, presumably referring to debit or credit cards. Following his X Spaces interview with Tate, he also went on a posting spree, with one post predicting that he would die on April 12th, only for the tweets to be later deleted. And you can see a record of some of those tweets there. One ex-user noted, "Garcia is one of the only fighters to consistently thank Jesus after every bout." While the truth behind the Garcia saga has yet to be fleshed out, historically, whistleblowers are better protected if they release evidence or proof of their claims as soon as possible. The sudden adult death syndrome, or SADS, that was seen worldwide after the COVID-19 vaccines rolled out was so unmistakable that it made the general public see how much their governments had lied to them. What is less known, however, is the link between vaccines and the sudden death of children, euphemistically called sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS. Like SADS, SIDS has a clear-cut relationship to vaccination, and in the case of SIDS, there is over a century of evidence to substantiate it. Like SADS, our healthcare authorities have worked tirelessly to conceal this link, even when faced with significant protests from the public who know what is happening. For the most part, these authorities have succeeded, and as a society, we have come to see SIDS as a normal event that does not require an investigation each time another child dies from vaccination. Well, a Midwestern doctor has written an incredibly detailed article on this, and we encourage everyone to read it in full on the Vigilant News Network. The story at a glance is, in order to maximize profits, the pharmaceutical industry will often identify vulnerable groups who lack the ability to advocate for themselves and refuse pharmaceutical products. When the DPT vaccine was first developed over a century ago, it was tested at Irish orphanages. Recently, mass graves of those early test subjects were discovered. Since the DPT vaccine hit the market, physicians around the world have observed waves of infant deaths following its use, which were often sudden and inexplicable, along with many other severe side effects. Numerous data sources correlate increasing childhood vaccination rates with increasing infant deaths. Those deaths played a key role in creating the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, and that forgotten data compromises the majority of this article below. When the COVID lockdowns happened, vaccine safety activists predicted the lockdowns would lead to an unprecedented drop in infant deaths since children were skipping their vaccines. But this ended up being exactly what happened, and it was reconfirmed by infant deaths dropping in Florida after the pandemic prompted many parents to begin not vaccinating their children. Thank God for that. We encourage everyone to read the article in full. It is incredibly informative. Well, a new study confirms some surprising news about red meat, something that humans have been eating for thousands of years with no problems whatsoever, may not actually be damaging our hearts. A new study bucks recent trends in health research that say that people who eat a lot of red or processed meat face an increased risk of heart disease. A research team looked at UK Biobank data from over 1.8 million people, roughly 460,000, who ate processed meat, pork, beef and mutton respectively. Anyone with a history of cardiovascular disease was omitted from the study. The team found that eating red or processed meat was not linked to a higher risk of cardiovascular disease. All odds ratios, or ORs, of a person developing cardiovascular disease, coronary artery disease, stroke, heart failure, or atrial fibrillation were insignificant. You can see that an odds ratio of 1 means that there is no significant increase between eating red meat, for instance, or not eating meat, and an OR higher than 1 indicates a person is more at risk. And an OR below 1 means one is less at risk or that the intervention has a protective effect. The link between beef intake and heart disease was even lower, with an OR of 0.7 for developing cardiovascular disease. Beef eaters were also at low risk for developing atrial fibrillation and heart failure, but at higher risk of experiencing stroke. You can also see the findings about pork there. Now, despite these findings, the researchers still labelled the outcomes insignificant in terms of causality. Mutton intake did not reveal any health risks associated with heart disease either. The research team found. Much like processed meat, mutton had insignificant OR outcomes for risk of cardiovascular disease and all of the others we discussed before as well. This result differs from those of previous observational studies, the research team wrote. However, the researchers said more research to confirm their findings is warranted, but one of their quotes is, "Over the past decade, several cross-sectional and prospective studies have investigated the relationship between red and processed meat consumption and cardiovascular disease. The conclusions drawn from the available data are inconsistent." Henry Kissinger once said, "Who controls the food supply can control the people." Today, the beef industry in America is under attack. Cows have been targeted by the purveyors of the climate change hoax in an effort to promote lab-grown meat, bugs, and other alternative proteins. It behooves Americans to start building up their own stockpiles of long-term storage beef. The problem there is that the vast majority of survival beef is horrible. They use low-quality cuts and beef crumbles that are barely edible. At VigilantBeef.com, Americans can get premium cuts like ribeye, New York strip, and tenderloin. It's freeze-dried, not dehydrated, which gives it a 25-year shelf life and retains the maximum nutrition and flavor. VigilantBeef.com is a veteran-owned, America-first company out of Texas. Our listeners can save 15% by using promo code BLACKOUT at VigilantBeef.com. That's promo code BLACKOUT at VigilantBeef.com. Strange connections continue to emerge surrounding Fannie Willis, and you'll never believe what has just been uncovered. Last week, the Georgia Record reported on Chris Hutman, the business partner of Jeff DeSantis, Fannie Willis Media Relations head. Hutman and DeSantis own a company called 2020 Insight. Their bios detail them as veteran Democrat consultants who've worked on every campaign level from president to local offices. Hutman is described as 2020 Insight's technology director while simultaneously holding the role of research director at Canal Partner Media, which advertises as the lead media buying agency for Biden's 2020 presidential campaign. According to the Georgia Secretary of State Corporations Division documents, on July 18, 2022, a now-dissolved organization named Defending Democracy was incorporated as a domestic nonprofit. The email address Hutman provided on the Defending Democracy Incorporation documentation is a 2020 Insight email address. The documents list Chris Hutman as the incorporator of Defending Democracy, with Jeremy Halbert Harris listed as the registered agent and attorney in fact. The documents show the Defending Democracy address there, and you can see that on the documents below. This nonprofit was dissolved a little over a year later on September 8, 2023. Well, what else occurred then? Coincidentally, this was the same day President Trump's full indictment report by a special grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia, was released. Georgia Corporations Division documents also state that the Defending Democracy's registered agent and attorney, in fact, Jeremy Halbert Harris, also runs the Jeremy Halbert Harris Group out of the same 750 Piedmont Avenue location. We note the missing S and mispronunciation on my account there is what appears to be Harris's name. Is this by design or mistake? According to the Democrat Georgia website, Halbert Harris led Fannie Willis' successful bid to unseat a 24-year incumbent in the Fulton County District Attorney race. It also states that he was the campaign director for Biden for America in Georgia, where he, quote, led the effort to flip Georgia blue for the first time in 28 years. According to Halbert Harris's LinkedIn profile, he was also a strategist for the Democrat Party of Georgia and the campaign manager for Charlie Bailey when he ran for attorney general in 2018. Sources suggest it was the relationship to Charlie Bailey that may have blocked Fannie Willis from investigating Burt Jones, the current lieutenant governor of Georgia, during the Trump indictment process. Charlie Bailey was Jones's opponent for lieutenant governor in 2022, and Fannie Willis held a campaign fundraiser for Charlie Bailey in that race. Charlie Bailey is also an attorney with Cook & Connolly. Cook & Connolly lists two business locations, one of which is 750 Piedmont Avenue. The same address as Defending Democracy and Fannie Willis's campaign. Fannie Willis' campaign contribution disclosure report documents dating from May of 2020 to as recent as August of 2023 again lists the same address, 750 Piedmont Avenue, Atlanta, Georgia. According to a campaign finance document filed on February 7, 2024, a new address is now listed for the Fannie Willis campaign. This time it is a Howell Mill Road address, which appears to be a post office. You can see those documents there. Andrew Evans, the attorney for Nathan Wade and his wife, Representative Stacey Evans of District 57, are also tied to the address of Defending Democracy. Stacey Evans dissolved her SG Evans Law Company listed at that address on September 8, 2023. On the exact same date that Defending Democracy was dissolved and the special grand jury released its full Trump indictment report. Andrew Evans still owns and operates Evans Law with the location as its principal address. It appears this 5,000 square foot office space is a packed Democrat powerhouse. At this point, we are left with some questions. Why are Fannie Willis, Chris Hutman, Jeremy Halbert Harris, Defending Democracy, Charlie Bailey, Andrew Evans, Stacey Evans, and several of their law firms all tied to the same address, 750 Piedmont Avenue? Why did Defending Democracy, Inc. and Stacey Evans' law firm, SG Evans Law Company, decide to dissolve on the precise date that the full Trump special grand jury indictment report was being released? The Georgia Record will continue to report on this story. Good news for the vaccine injured. If this passes successfully, a new law would make COVID vaccine makers liable for injuries and deaths. Rep. Chip Roy from Texas on Tuesday introduced a bill that would allow Americans to sue the manufacturers of COVID-19 vaccines for vaccine-related adverse events, including deaths, by removing the vaccine maker's liability shield. The Let Injured Americans Be Legally Empowered Act, or the Liable Act, would, quote, allow Americans who took vaccines that were misleadingly promoted and forced onto many Americans via federal mandates to pursue civil litigation for their injuries, end quote, according to a summary of the bill publicized by Fox News. These vaccines were given emergency use authorization unilaterally and did not go through the normal FDA approval process, the summary stated. Commenting on the proposed legislation, Children's Health Defense President Mary Holland said, "The damages and fatalities caused by the COVID-19 vaccine demand accountability. This legislation represents a critical milestone in rectifying these injustices and paving the way for a more accountable future. This legislation is crucial for holding vaccine manufacturers accountable. CHD is among the organizations supporting the legislation. According to Roy's office, COVID-19 vaccines are considered countermeasures under the PREP Act, which broadly shields their manufacturers from civil liability related to losses stemming from the vaccines. Instead, injured Americans must seek relief under the onerous CICP, but only 11 COVID-19-related claims have been paid out of CICP. Holland said that the CICP is wholly inadequate and inconsistent with constitutional principles in providing just redress. The proposed legislation would remove all federal liability protections for the COVID-19 vaccine, preserve the ability of injured Americans to access pre-existing compensation programs such as the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, and would be retroactive, allowing Americans vaccinated and injured before the bill's passage to sue. We really hope people support Chip Roy's efforts and share this huge news, and that all of those who are injection injured are able to take these criminals down with more lawsuits than they can count. Now, scientists have studied the Swampy Cree Native American tribe for years, wondering how they maintain such exceptional health. In addition to a diet of simple, natural, and raw foods, the Cree's ancient practice of consuming bison organs is credited with their exceptional health. Their bison organs are one of the most nutrient-rich, bioavailable, and sustainable sources of vital nutrients known to man. These bison organs are Mother Nature's miracle, providing nutritional and hormonal support like no other food source on Earth. And they are now available to us from the great company Naked Organs. Bison Trifecta, the company's best-selling product, supports heart health, cognitive function, athletic performance, nurtures liver health, provides immune support, and combats inflammation. Go to holisticgoddess.com/blackout and order today. Use promo code blackout to save an additional 10%. We mentioned before that Americans needed to be very concerned about the weaponization of AI against them ahead of the upcoming 2024 US elections. We want to spend some time talking to you about Logically AI, a shadowy AI company used in the UK to censor COVID critics. This was published by The Telegraph in June of 2023, the AI firm that conducted state surveillance of your social media posts. An industrial estate in Yorkshire is an unlikely location for state surveillance operations, but these blank-looking warehouses are home to an artificial intelligence company used by the government to monitor people's posts on social media. Logically was paid more than £1.2 million of taxpayers' money to analyse what the government terms disinformation or false information deliberately seeded online. What they say is false information, mind you. And misinformation, which they say is false information that has been spread inadvertently. It does this by ingesting material from more than hundreds of thousands of media sources and all public posts on major social media platforms using AI to identify those that are potentially problematic. The firm was started 6 years ago by Lyric Jane, a 27-year-old Cambridge engineering graduate who first put the technology to the test during elections in his native India. He deploys it alongside what Logically claims is one of the world's largest dedicating fact-checking teams spread between UK, Europe, and India. And it's a model that has helped the firm secure a string of contracts. Now, if you all recall, during the COVID era, anything that we were critical of, it would just be a fact check. Fact checkers say this is false and the source is, I don't know, Reuters or Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or whoever the untrustworthy source may be. This is what a lot of people experienced on social media. And of course, we presume that Logically AI used similar tactics because, of course, the AI would have been trained to believe that anything the government disagrees with is something that should be censored and false information. And this is a huge fact-checking network. Well, now the Post-Millennial reports an exclusive Washington state has now weaponized Logically AI to target its citizens and journalists through mass surveillance. That's right, the state's AI is targeting journalists, conservative activists, and voters for narratives that the state finds problematic regarding election security and integrity following factual reporting and social media posts, according to information obtained via a public disclosure request. Steve Hobbs, the WA Secretary of State, entered into a contract with UK artificial intelligence company Logically AI, which is, as we just said, a very controversial company that monitors social media accounts and identifies what they deem harmful narratives. Washington State has now weaponized Logically AI to target its citizens and journalists through mass surveillance. Officials have warned that Logically AI has the power to shape the 2024 US presidential election, and now those concerns are coming to fruition. Critics also claim that the state contract is unconstitutional because it violates a person's right to freedom of speech. Logically AI actually sends threat and narrative alerts to the state each month. The service, which costs taxpayers more than $14,000 per month, acts as a censorship bot that targets social media users who've either questioned or reported on election integrity. It also flags accounts it deems have threatened election officials. The social media accounts of said individuals are then given to Hobbs's office. Journalists and individuals have been listed as narrative alerts if they report on illegal immigrants voting, question the integrity of mail-in ballots and voting machines, advocate for voter ID. Imagine the crime of advocating for voter ID. My goodness. If they mention potential fraudulent election activity, discuss dead people receiving ballots and their votes being counted, advocate for election transparency, and more. So you can imagine that if you're training an AI bot to deem all of these things as dangerous to the narrative, then that means that all of those things are on the table to be used yet again. Dead people voting. Voter fraud. This is very concerning. And you can see here that a journalist, Ari Hoffman, was deemed a threat to election integrity for reporting a true story about illegals voting. The PDR request revealed that journalists Ari Hoffman and Katie Daviscourt of the Post-Millennial were tagged in these alerts after reporting factual stories about Washington's election process. According to the contract, Logically AI provides overarching services to the Office of the Secretary of State. This includes narrative alerts, threat alerts, bi-weekly narrative and threat trend reports, final narrative and threat trend reports, and narrative and threat briefings. And you can see some of those documents there. They conduct mass social media surveillance, and if an individual posts a discussion the AI deems related to election integrity, the Secretary of State receives an alert that describes why the narrative or threat is harmful. And you can see an example here that Logically AI issued an alert to the state after individuals discussed receiving multiple ballots, ballots being sent out to deceased individuals, and receiving ballots after moving to a different city or out of the states. Logically AI tagged this narrative because it could motivate individuals to call on officials to ban mail-in ballots and advocate for in-person voting only. Imagine. And you can see an example of that election alert there. This really does seem like a last-ditch effort to make sure AI is actually already running the show before their plan to hold the last ever election. What do we mean by that? Well, Yuval Noah Harari has said that the US 2024 election will be the last election that is ever held. He says that in future, AI will decide for us who is best to rule us. Imagine that. AI, like Google's Gemini, for example, that seems to deny that white people even exist, and Logically AI that says it's too dangerous to encourage voter ID to make sure elections are secure. Imagine that kind of AI deciding anything for you. But you see, this is what it's always been about for the transhumanists. Removing any kind of independent thinking, silencing you, controlling the narrative, demoralizing you, and breaking your spirit so that you finally submit to a machine. Now, some people may think that's too sci-fi and too far into the future, but it's already here. The UK government already used AI to make sure you can't speak freely during COVID and silenced any real health advice that, if people had access to, could have saved millions of lives by helping them make a true, informed choice about the injections. In many ways, AI already ruled over the last pandemic. In many ways, AI is about to rule over the US elections also. Now, some have theorized that the reason for censorship during COVID wasn't even so much about silencing every one of us, but it was to make sure that the large language model used by the globalists was trained according to how they want it to learn, And what I mean by that is if you have a misinformation flag on every post that is true, every time that happens, the LLM grows more authoritarian against the truth. And so the beast grows. But the difference now is that many more people are aware of this, and it's not able to happen in the shadows anymore. They've been exposed for the frauds that they are, too weak to even defend their narrative themselves, that they need a machine programmed with propaganda to do it for them. But there are still too many of us. So what do you do with that problem? In comes a threat, an event that will throw the country into such a crisis and the people into such fear that they will resort to scrambling and listening to the government for direction rather than critical thinking yet again. And that brings us to our next story. War correspondent Michael Yon has been warning for months that the United States is already at war, reporting directly from the Darien Gap and other places on the border, showing just how many military-aged males are flooding into the country. Michael has been outspoken on weaponized migration, the possibility of terrorist sleeper cells being activated, and false flag events being potentially set up in the months to come. He joins us now with reporter Anne Vandersteel, who's been joining him in Operation Burning Edge to expose the crimes at the border and offer his insight into just how bad this will get ahead of the 2024 election and beyond. Elon Musk has issued a warning for America. The groundwork is being laid for something far worse than 9/11. And the article says Musk is correct. The only question is when. Ex-owner Elon Musk has a dire warning for America following the news of the Biden regime secretly flying hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens in, as the Gateway Pundit reported. You can see that article here. Treason bombshell report reveals Biden has secretly flown 320,000 illegals into the U.S. It's unknown where these migrants are arriving from. Information from the Center for Immigration Studies reveals the regime claims the locations are kept hidden because bad actors could inflict harm on public safety, and the information could potentially create law enforcement vulnerabilities. In a post on X, Musk revealed the real reason behind the Biden regime's scheme: importing and spreading around new voters who will reliably vote Democrat to ensure a permanent majority. Musk notes the regime's selfish desire is creating a severe national security threat based on the sheer number of illegal aliens alone. Due to this, he warns, the groundwork is being laid for something far worse than 9/11, and he added, just a matter of time. Michael Yon and Anne Vandersteel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Maria, good to see you.
It's good. Hello from Florida.
It's good to see you both. Unfortunately, not under such great circumstances. This crisis at the border is getting worse and worse by the day. I'm watching from the other side of the world thinking, what on earth are they planning with all of these illegals coming in, all of these military age men coming in, and who better to tell us than those who are on the border with Operation Burning Edge? What do you think the people need to know, number one?
Oh, it's just a few people looking for a better life, just like 20 or 30 people a month.
Maria, it's very, in all seriousness, it's very, very desperate.
We hear that all the time.
That's what we hear, but our eyes don't deceive us. And when we go down into the Darien Gap or we are along the southern border, I mean, lots of citizen journalists have now joined and are showing what they're seeing down at the border. But if you go further south into Darien and anywhere through Central America, you see the representation of the United Nations, their NGOs like OIM or IOM, International Organization for Migration, the American Red Cross, United States flags in the middle of the jungle, Doctors Without Borders, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, and other NGOs down there representing, helping for humanitarian purposes to drag people through some of the most inhospitable and dangerous territory in the world, where many die in the jungle making the journey, so that they can come to the United States where there aren't any jobs available for them, where they can't legally get a job right away, and where they're being given money by our own federal government, which is the American taxpayer. And, you know, our country is in crisis, Maria. We can't even afford to take care of the homeless in this country, let alone adding another 47 million, as Customs and Border Protection recently put up a statistic from 2021, 47 million undocumented workers, as or undocumented illegals, as they call them, have entered our country. And that's the ones they know about. So we are in serious crisis. And from where Michael and I are sitting, we see over 150 countries, many are state sponsors of terror, sending their best, the people that have emptied out of prisons, people that are of military age. And we see them from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, China, just to name a few. This is not what is going to set America free. This is, in fact, what I believe is a setup to take America down.
Well, speaking of that setup, I mean, I know that the Biden administration has gone to some incredible efforts to, I don't know, hide the amount of people coming in, flying 320,000 illegal immigrants secretly to at least 43 airports in the U.S. to lessen the border crossing numbers. But, I mean, I can't understand how this would possibly assist, because the cat is out of the bag. And thanks to people like you who've been reporting on just how many people are coming in. But you said something there, Anne, and I want to ask Michael, you know, Elon Musk has just issued a warning for America. Groundwork is being laid for something worse than 9/11. What are your thoughts?
Wow. Nobody would have ever thought of that.
He's being very sarcastic today.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Elon says it. Maybe it's true now that the border is being overrun and this is a war. I mean, straight up. I mean, Ann and I spent a couple of weeks down at SpaceX last year during Operation Burning Edge, which is ongoing, with the specific intent of prodding Elon Musk to start paying attention to the border. It has now worked. We never reached out to him. We never reached out to SpaceX. But SpaceX at Boca Chica, Texas, is right on the border with Mexico. I mean, like, literally, aliens come across the border and go straight on to SpaceX property. The Border Patrol there tell us that they're not even allowed to follow aliens who go onto SpaceX property. I mean, there's a lot of drug smuggling that goes on down there. We're not saying SpaceX is involved. We're not saying that at all. But what we are saying is it is right on the border. And SpaceX, actually, if there was a third-party player that wanted to play games with Elon Musk, it would be quite simple from the Mexican side in many different ways. And that's why we were trying to get Elon Musk to pay attention, which he has done now. We've done the same with other things. You see, Darien Gap is really blowing up in the news now because of our efforts, actually. Colony Ridge, same thing. We're going to be doing the same to some other things soon.
We're focusing in on the United Nations and their non-governmental organizations, and we're happy to report two incredible turn of events. One, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, HIAS, thanks to the work of Laura Loomer, predominantly, has not only removed their signs in at least one of the camps that we're aware of, San Vicente, which Michael has called China Camp, because that's where most of the Chinese military age men come through. But, you know, they've also, we've also gotten seen that same camp actually spontaneously have a riot where fire was directed specifically into the records of the Chinese migrants that are going through that camp, destroying all the records. They say destroyed. We don't know if they are actually destroyed or not, but the entire cabin where those, the trailer where all that was hidden was actually destroyed. The records for the center front, which is their border security and military, was also destroyed, as well as the immigrant agents listed at that camp were all destroyed. So very targeted destruction based off a husband and wife having a fight in the middle of the night, some of the quotes refugees. But more exciting is the fact that Doctors Without Morals, that we've been reporting on since we started going down there, they're never in their tents. All these NGOs have tents throughout these camps everywhere, but there's never anybody staffing them. In fact, we had to start acting as though we were the doctors one day as illegals were collapsing from heat stroke. I mean, their faces were going and stroking out. People had spontaneously aborted their own, they had miscarriages in the jungle. So it's quite serious, in fact, what's going on down at the border. And when we started laser focusing on Doctors Without Borders, what ended up happening? They were suspended from having a contract in Panama. So they've now been removed from actually doing business down in Panama, which is a big blow, an egg on their face. And you know what, Maria, they should have egg on their face because they're not there for humanitarian purposes. They're there to collect the check. They're not there to help
people.
That's what
I was just about to say. Right. Just collecting the check, empty tents, at least pretend that you care for all the money you're raking in. It's unbelievable. But I really want to hone in on where, on the end goal of this invasion, because we are, I mean, you two have done such a phenomenal job. And yes, it's hitting the mainstream now. I know, Michael, from the start, from when I started speaking to you about this, you were talking about the Darien Gap. No one else was talking about it at that point. And now it's sort of even mainstream that this is a problem. But where do they want to take this? We have the US elections coming this year. I know that Logically AI is now involved. The Biden administration has hired Logically AI. They are infamous for censoring COVID, quote unquote, misinformation during the pandemic. And so we now have the weaponization of AI against the US people, plus this invasion. Where is this going to go pre the election? Do you think they are going to try and stop the election, that they're going to weaponize these illegal migrants?
You know, well, we've seen other elections stolen. For instance, Biden was installed, obviously. I mean, he's obviously not the president. He's a sausage walking around, not rotten yet. But, you know, in the Maricopa County in Arizona, another election. Ann and I were both in Maricopa, and that was, how many counties are there in the United States?
There's 3,143.
And we happened to pick the one that they were going to steal it at. I mean, it wasn't a coincidence. It was the smell in the air. If they're going to steal an election, it's probably Maricopa. So we ended up there, and they stole it there. It was obvious. Like, I went to two polling stations, and both of those, the machines didn't work. And then you went to other places.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we were there, but we weren't always together. It was pretty wild. They stole it right in front of us. At Maricopa.
Well, but so to answer your question.
Well, here's my thought. Sorry, Anne, before you go ahead. I don't know that they'll be able to get away with another stolen election. There's a lot of support for Trump out there now. And I don't think that they're going to be able to get away with this again. So I'm seeing all the signs of a coming false flag.
Oh, I think you have the conditions and the table set for that, Maria. I mean, Dr. Bartlett called us the other day. Two phone calls we got within, I think, 12 hours of each other. Dr. Bartlett telling us down on the El Paso border where he was driving, literally along the border, Customs and Border Protection were stopping cars and asking if you were a citizen or not, not asking for evidence of it, but just stopping the cars. But they weren't stopping the tractor trailers that were whizzing by and looking for the tractor trailers to see, A, if there were illegals in there, or weapons of mass destruction, or nuclear, biological, or chemical, or whatever. Or perhaps it's just, you know, weapons-grade equipment for, I don't know, maybe the Chinese military that General Flynn has said there's at least 7 divisions of a Chinese army. We have that many people in the country. Then we also got a phone call from a flight surgeon who said that they're setting up MEP stations, which is the military stations that they use to basically do your physicals to determine whether you are physically fit to join the military. And they're doing this right along next to the Customs and Border Protection stations where they're facilitating the human trafficking of these people across the border. So they're clearly saying, you come with us over here to the MEP station and you can go for processing over here. They're already creating the army inside America, and they're giving them a pathway to citizenship, just like they're doing it in law enforcement in Chicago and Los Angeles. They're giving people your opportunity to become a U.S. citizen, and we'll give you a gun and a badge. And oh, by the way, they didn't care about the Constitution because they came here illegally. So now you've got an illegal invader with a gun and a badge who can now arrest an American citizen. Go figure.
Yes, and of course, will be in their best interest to do exactly what the government said so that they can stay. So then you have that added element as well, not just the potential for terrorist cells to be activated, but also terrorists being given law enforcement jobs. I mean, this is absolutely insane. Michael, what can we expect over the next few months, and what do you both plan on doing to continue exposing this?
I mean, war. We're going into war. That's crystal clear. Now, when will it actually kick off so that even the stupid people can see it? And I'm just calling things what they are. I'm tired of being polite. You know, we don't have time for it at this point. I should be more polite and professional. But the bottom line is, we are in a state of war. We just don't have time for nonsense. We don't have time for you're a racist or whatever. It's going to get highly kinetic. We're going to end up with food shortages, which will, you know, obviously drive significant other problems. The Darien Gap and other places, those routes are being opened up more. It's clear that the so-called U.S. government is weaponized. It's captured. The U.S. government's captured, right? Not a single four-star general or any general, to my knowledge, on active duty has stood up. Not a single one. And so no flag officer, and no, that means admirals and generals, has stood up about the border. None stood up against the jab, to my knowledge.
When you say war, Michael, you mean that there are potentially plans within some of these military age men to turn against US citizens, or that you know, that they'll be coerced into doing that? I mean, have they come in with those intentions already? Do we have any intel around that? What do you mean when you say war?
There's different ecosystems of people that are coming in. For instance, the Chinese. Even within the Chinese, there'll be different. Some are actually honestly migrants, but a lot are clearly military age males that are here on some sort of mission, right? They probably don't even know what their mission is, which is normal, right? When you're doing something, weaponized migration is an old war tactic. It's nothing new. Like I remember, on January 6th, I was one of the very first, maybe the first, to say there was agent provocateurs there because I could see them. And I've been in a lot of protests around the world in many countries and whatnot. So they're easy for me to spot. You know, we're in Florida now. It's as easy for me to spot an agent provocateur as an average person with a bullhorn as it is to tell the difference between a turtle and an alligator, right? They are somewhat different. And what I'm saying is, a lot, but on January 6th, people said, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, this agent provocateur thing. It's like something from the past. No, they do it every day around the world. I mean, it's a common tactic, and it's the same with that weaponized migration. It's a very normal tactic. It's been used since I was in Morocco a couple of years ago before the Ukraine war and saw that Frontex, which is like the European sort of border patrol, right? They're basically useless. But Frontex, their headquarters is in Warsaw. They said that Belarus was pushing migrants into Poland and Lithuania. So Chuck Colton and I immediately flew from Morocco to Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. And I spent 5 weeks there. Chuck spent a few days and left. I spent about 5 weeks going into the camps, talking with people. They gave me full access because I was with the Lithuanians in the Afghan war. So they gave me great access. But the bottom line is, that's when I knew something was about to kick off. I didn't know exactly what, but you can see that the weaponized migration is a war tactic, right? And that's what's happening in the United States now and across Europe on a huge scale. This is obviously a replacement migration. And again, people will say that's conspiracy theory. And to that, I say, please go get your jab. Have fun. I mean, because seriously, we don't have time for that.
We've covered before.
Yeah, we're beyond that.
United Nations has an official publication called Replacement Migration. The aim is in the name of the document. It's very clear what replacement migration is for. And the UN That's is right. giving these people cards, prepaid cards, giving them a very comfortable transition during their illegal migration to
when they get here.
Yes.
When and if they're capable of getting here. And, Joe Biden, Trudeau and Obrador, the three, quote, presidents of Canada, Mexico and U.S. all signed the Declaration of North America in January of 23, which essentially declares those three countries one region and is specifically for migration under diversity, equity, inclusion, climate change, promise of equitable compensation and jobs for the indigenous, which if you read the entire document, which is only six pages, every single paragraph results in the exact opposite of what they state. It's a bold-faced set of lies, and it's really just a ruse to lure people here into this country. But that's for the purpose of destroying the fabric of this country and then weaponizing these people when the banks collapse and they don't have their debit cards working anymore. They can't feed their families. They'll be coming into our homes for our families' food. It's going to be a classic civil war, and it's going to completely collapse. And I don't know the timing of it. Michael and I won't put dates on it, but we do have an election this year, and COVID was what they used last time. So what are they going to do this time to try and steal the election? Something, if we even have an election.
Yeah, it's all very, very serious, as well as the potential for some sort of a cyber event. We're getting a lot of wind of that. Klaus Schwab has said, World Economic Forum, number one event that you can expect this year is a cyber attack of some sort. They told us last year that over the next 2 years, we can expect that. And so there are a number of different threats facing the world, facing the American people right now. I'm just so grateful for your work on the border. Please let people know what you two will be doing to continue to raise awareness on this and fight back, and also where people can find you.
Go ahead, Michael.
I'm on X every day. Well, when I have a chance, because we do stay incredibly busy, but it's Michael Yon. My last name is Y-O-N, Yankee Oscar November, and I'm on X every day.
And I'm Ann Vandersteel on X as well. So that would be the best place to find us. And we're going to keep fighting the fight. We're still targeting on the United Nations NGOs, Maria, because the American taxpayer is the largest funder for the UN. And the UN is funding organizations like OIM, HIAS, and others that are just absolutely destructive to the fabric of our country. And they're destroying cultures from the originating country all the way through the countries that are used and weaponized to further this invading army into ours. So we're going to focus on that to stop it.
Well, just really quickly.
You know something? Speaking of disruption, a retired general sent me a message about an hour ago, you know, about he's hearing, you know, credible reports of an EMP attack, you know, in the next few weeks. But I don't know. We hear these things all the time. Signal to noise, right? I have no idea. But clearly, you know, something will happen. But it's very difficult to separate signal from noise in this. We just know the conditions are right and the motivation is there. The means are there. Yeah. And our opponents are straight up evil.
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned the Indigenous people and how they enter into these agreements to supposedly protect Indigenous people. We had a referendum in Australia earlier last year where they were trying to include the Aboriginal people into the Constitution. But what it really was about UNDRIP, which is a UN document that says that they want to give the rights to the Indigenous people. Once you go all the way down to Article 46, after you read all this fluffy language, it says that these people will be subjected to the United Nations. And when you look at the actual agenda, you can go to UN 30 by 30, which is where they are systematically taking more and more land for conservation and climate change efforts. And the US is both in support of UN 30 by 30 and UNDRIP. And the Council on Foreign Relations says, well, actually, it's closer to about 80% of land. And so this is the plan. The UN is behind so much of this. And so I think you're both right. They're coming from multiple angles. The main thing is that people need to be prepared, and they can be because of reporters like you. So thank you so much for your work, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Maria.
Certainly sobering words there from Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel, really highlighting the importance of all of us not giving up and realizing we really are in the fight for humanity. That brings us to the end of this broadcast. Thank you all for joining us this week and for your continued support of this show. We really appreciate it. Make sure to like, give us your thoughts in the comments, and share this broadcast widely. Follow Vigilant News and Vigilant Fox on X. Visit the Vigilant News Network website for regular updates. And find me on X also at Z_media. That's Z-EEE_media. And find all of my work on zmedia.com. We'll be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern with the truth the media desperately does not want you to know and refuses to talk about, by the way. But we won't. Until then, stay informed, stay vigilant. Good night.